Well, good morning, Backroads Church. Thank you for being with us here on February 8th already. Wow, the year is just flying by. But it's always just a gift and an honor to be able to be in service with you, worship together with you, and be in God's presence. So thank you for being with us again this morning, whether it be in person or online. We are just grateful for each and every person that finds their way to us and then finds their way into relationship with God. A couple of announcements as we start this morning. We want to let you know that the growth group registration is open. If you go to I'm sure it's on our website or the information will be in your program as to where and how to get registered for our growth groups. If you got any questions, please call the office and let us know, and we'll help you any way we can to get signed up with the right growth group that fits your time and what you need. So we're thankful for that. Want to remind you, Taco Tuesday is this Tuesday evening at Bosco Bell Campus. The money from that goes to all the proceeds go to help the kids on their mission trip. So we want to support them. The last day, this Sunday is the last day to get a hold of Brian or different people from different churches to get your tickets for the Interchurchmen's banquet that's going to be held in Mount Zion at 6:30 on the 16th at the Mount Zion Backroads Church. So if you need tickets for that, contact Brian Russell, or you can call the office and we'll make sure that we get you a ticket for that. On February 21st, the band is going to do another worship night. I wasn't here for the first two, but I heard they were awesome. So this is number three. Three is always a charm. That's going to be at 7 o'clock on February 21st. Just come for the music. Come for the fellowship. Come because it's free. And we get to worship and be together. And it's well worth it. So come on out for that. I also want to remind you, we're getting ready to start Lent here in a couple of weeks, or next week. So our Ash Wednesday service, we're going to offer three different options this year, if you'd like. We're going to be in Bloomington. I'll be in Bloomington from noon to 1, and we'll do a service there. We'll be here at Bosco Bell from 5:15 to 5:45. Where you can come and we'll worship together. And if you want ashes, I can impose ashes for you. And then we're going to be at Soldiers Grove at 7 in the evening. We'll do a service then as well. So those are my announcements. Oh, so now let's kind of shake off anything we have that might keep us from actually opening ourselves all the way. The Bible tells us that if we have any problems with our brothers or sisters, that we can't come here and even make an offering. We can't absorb anything that God has for us this morning. So let's shake that off. Let's come into an attitude of worship and let's start with some prayer. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord Jesus, you said that your followers must be the light of the world. And you've called us to be the light that dispels all darkness. A light that sows rays of joy and hope. A light that's life-giving. So, Lord, we ask that you help us. Help us to be that light so that our lives will radiate your message of love and hope and joy, comfort and peace to all that we meet. Make us your guiding beacon, leading those who seek truth. May we lead them to you, Lord. You also said, Lord, that your disciples must be the salt of this earth. And salt gives good taste to food. It prevents spoilage. It's also a healing agent. So, Lord, may we be the salt that takes away the blandness and the routine of living, that prevents the rottenness of hatred and greed from spreading all around us. Let us be the salt that promotes compassionate healing to the anguished souls that we encounter. Lord, help us to be worth our salt and infuse your saltiness into us so that we don't become flat and useless. God of all, this morning you've heard our cries for salt and light, either in our own lives or in those we know. But Lord, our prayers go beyond ourselves. There are the world issues that we pray for, the war that we see, the poverty that we experience, the disease unfair trade. So many things are happening. And we feel that as Christians, we should be doing so much more than we already are. Gracious and loving God, we rejoice that you are with us in our troubles and that you know us and love us always. We know that you don't wave a magic wand for everything to be fixed instantly. Lord, you require us to exercise our faith, to respond to your call, to preach the gospel and to seek to live that gospel out. You call us to look to you for the strength that we need to share your love and your grace. Help us to share the good news in our word and in our actions, Lord. We give you thanks and ask that you hear our prayers, to lift us to the mountain that is higher than I, Lord, for your sake, or for the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit now. Hear us now as we pray the way Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So this morning, being that we've just prayed about salt and light, I want to share a scripture this morning from Matthew 5. This is verses 13 through 20. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation this morning. If you have something different, please follow along. And it'll be a little bit different, but the message should be the same. So hear these words. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the religious law and of the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. These words that I just read are some strong words that end our lesson for today. What goes through your mind when you hear these words of Matthew 5:20? But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the religious law and of the Pharisees, you're never going to enter the kingdom of heaven. That word never has an almost threatening sound to it, doesn't it? How are we supposed to respond to the idea that unless we get this righteousness stuff correct, we will never enter the kingdom? For me, when I hear Jesus say never, it sure gets my attention. When you hear it, did a bit of a shiver run down your spine too? Last week we heard how blessed we are when we're poor or when we mourn, when we're meek or when we try to keep the peace. We're blessed when we're hungry for righteousness, when we are merciful, even when we're persecuted. And now this morning we hear that we may never, never get into heaven. Has Jesus set the bar so high that we can never reach it? You know, if we look at the way the Pharisees lived their lives, how they faithfully tithed and how they dedicated themselves to keeping the law in every single aspect, do we see a standard that we just don't live up to? Do we have to quit our jobs to sell all of our stuff, become missionaries to an island with people who don't know Jesus yet? Do we have to do all that just to have a chance to get into heaven? Or, as we've read the Bible and have interpreted through our own rose-colored glasses, is it more comfortable for us to take Jesus' trip to the cross on our behalf? Is it too easy for us to take what he did for granted? Do we think that we have this heaven thing all locked up and we really have nothing to fear about our own eternity? Do we see the teachers of the law and the Pharisees as those guys? They're the nitpicky, they're joyless, holier than thou, stick in the mud people who misplaced their faith in God. They put their faith entirely in the law and feared what the consequences might be. They didn't really get the point of faith. Have you noticed our passages the last few weeks have focused on the separations that we create in our cultures? There seems to be this us against them theme in the lessons. As I read this passage from Matthew 5, my initial observation was just that I saw a dividing line being drawn between the Pharisees and those who either choose to follow Jesus or those who are being invited to follow Jesus. But I warn you, it says, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. The more I read, the more I prayed over this, I started to understand it a little bit differently. Jesus wasn't calling us to be in competition with the religious leaders. Jesus isn't promoting a fight to the death between anybody. Jesus was encouraging us to understand the meaning of righteousness. He was and is still today speaking to us about the lack of control that we have. The lack of control we have to actually be righteous. Let me see if I can make a little bit of sense of this. Jesus is talking with the people who actually look up to the religious leaders. The Pharisees have established themselves to be the ultimate role models for all of those who really seek God's mercy. To them, it's as if entering the kingdom of heaven comes with their own goodness and their own ability to live completely pure and moral lives. As role models, other people emulate that practice and feel that it's up to them to earn their way into heaven too. And if we believe that righteousness is only about good relationship with God and with other people, then we must also admit that our best efforts at being that fail and fall far too short. When Jesus delivered this message to the seekers at the Sermon on the Mount that day, he was delivering a message that went against all normal thinking. Not the typical us against them, but a message of together with them. And by together with them, I actually mean God and us. Righteousness is not a man-made attribute. It's a gift of God's grace. Righteousness is actually how we're seen through the eyes of God, not through the eyes of man. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." Jesus has done what we can't do for ourselves, so that our salvation does not depend on our works or our righteousness. We enter the kingdom of heaven only because Christ has opened the gates for us. Our passage for today signifies a shift in ideas following the Beatitudes. Verse 13 starts the teaching about how the church responds to God's grace and God's favor. The sermon started out addressing the crowd that had gathered, a group who was experiencing the hardships of an empire that just tried to crush them, a crowd who needed to hear the word of grace. A crowd which included so many people who were poor in spirit. But now, starting with verse 13, Jesus' focus shifts to the church as a whole, with the emphasis placed on the church leadership itself, the actual disciples. Before verse 13, Jesus pronounces the blessings. After verse 13, Jesus identifies the mission of the church. Becoming the church requires a response from those who hear and receive God's word of grace. The church represents all those who follow Jesus. And Jesus expects some things. He expects some things from those who follow him. If we follow Jesus, we pray in a certain way. We forgive in a certain way. We use our money in a certain way. If we acknowledge God's grace and blessing, and if we're actively claiming to follow Jesus, Jesus is actually holding us to a higher standard. Knowing that, we can begin to understand the seemingly misunderstood message that's in verse 20. "But I warn you," he said, "unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus calls the church to a righteousness that comes from the heart, God's heart, beating within each one of us. If we see our righteousness in this way, we realize that even though verse 20 at first glance might send a shiver up our spines, we don't respond to Jesus' call to follow then out of fear. We respond with the recognition that God transforms us so that we can become righteous. Friends, transformation leads to a life of discipleship. We find our righteousness in the mission Jesus has called us to. We are to be salt. We are to be light in this world. You know, without salt, our hearts won't even beat. Salt adds flavor. It makes food taste better. Salt can also suck the life out of something. I got a piece right here. This is a piece of warthog skin that I got in Africa. I harvested this animal in 2008. That's a long time ago. And it was rubbed with so much salt that nothing can live in it now. It's lifeless. And it'll stay that way, preserved for almost or probably all of eternity. It's not going to change. Friends, we can oversalt our ministries too. And we can leave people with a bad taste in their mouths. These Pharisees were becoming salt with no flavor. They had placed so much emphasis on being faithful to the law that they no longer shared the goodness of God's righteousness. If the church has the mission to be the light of the world, then we must help the world see both its sin and the grace of God. The God who takes away our sin. The darkness of the world is the basket that tries to hide God's light. As the church, we've been enabled to remove that basket and let God's light shine so that people can see hope in the midst of their despair. But like too much salt can be harmful, too much light can blind someone. Have you ever been pulled over by the police? You don't have to admit that out loud. I will say that I have. And I've had that spotlight shine in my rearview mirror. And it can be blinding. It can get you disoriented and you can't focus on anything. Friends, we're called to share the righteousness of God. To give the glory of our salvation, the one who makes us righteous in his eyes. This faith journey that we're on, it's not ours to win or to lose. It is ours. And it is our mission to bring people together, to be that salt and light, not too much, but just the right amount to give them the right flavor and the right vision. We do that so that others can see and taste the actual goodness of God. Our mission isn't to battle. It is not a battle of us against them, but it's a mission to create an atmosphere of together with them. To God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious and holy God, we thank you for meeting us in your word today. You've reminded us that righteousness is not something we earn, nor a ladder we climb, but it's a perfect gift that flows from your own heart into ours. You call us the broken, the imperfect, and the still learning to be salt and light in a world that hungers for hope and longs for truth. So Lord, help us. Help us not to lose our flavor, nor to hide your light under a basket of fear or pride or complacency. Keep shifting us by your grace. Keep softening us where we're hard. Keep illuminating us where we walk in shadows. Make our lives a living testimony, not of our goodness, but of your transforming love, Lord. And now, Lord, we dedicate to you the offerings that we bring. Take these gifts, humble as they may be, and season our ministries with them. Use them to bring flavor where life has gone bland, and to shine the light of Christ in places where despair has blocked out your light. Bless every giver, every gift, that together they may help this church fulfill the mission, the one that you've entrusted to us, to share your goodness, to carry your hope, to reveal your grace to everyone we encounter, Lord. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, our light, our righteousness, and our Redeemer. Amen. So go forth from this place, knowing that Christ is in you. And it's Christ who makes you righteous. It's Christ before you who clears the path. It's Christ beside you who walks this journey with you. It's Christ behind you who redeems your past. And it's Christ above you who shines through your life. It's in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that we go. Go now in peace.